Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Saturday, folks, it's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I'm actually back at the ranch here for 2 weeks, which is great, because 6 weeks on the road doing the John Henry on books with my G2 1.0 Bold gel pen is a lot of fun, but it's a grind. I want to say a quick thanks to all the great folks at the Idaho State Fair, the staff, and the attendees, and the literally thousands of people who came up and bought books, and 576 book fours sold out, a whole bunch of readers, and I think we managed to get a book into the hands of every single reader who was chomping at the bit for one. Although we stopped sales, believe it or not, there were a bunch of new readers that were buying four book sets, and we actually stopped sales of that the last day to make sure we had enough book fours for people who had already read books 1, 2, and 3. And it's a good thing we did, because the very last book sold to just one of those people at about 8 o'clock that night, an hour before close. In other book news, and we're going to be covering a lot on this show, so I'm going to do this really briefly on the books. In other book news, the hardcovers for books 1, 2, and 3 will be coming out October 31. We're going to have pictures and all sorts of good stuff, and reservations are going to be very limited quantity. On the website, www.threadswestseries.com. If you're not signed up for the very occasional blasts that come out of there, all of them packed with information, you should do so. And you can also reserve books 5 and 6 coming out in January and May. Footsteps and Blood of Glorieta Pass, a Civil War book, respectively, for no cost. The only publisher that we know of, in fact, the only outfit that we know of on the web, that allows you to reserve books in advance at no cost. And a lot of those people that did that on book 4 were happy they did, since the publisher, believe it, the publisher is down to the last 7 boxes of books from the first 3 printings, a grand total of 164, I believe it is, books remaining in the publisher's warehouse. So for you folks who have been thinking about buying a book from the publisher's website, as thousands have done, it was unbelievable, actually, when they opened up the sales button, almost crashed the system. You should do that sooner rather than later. www.threadswestseries.com. They're really well priced. They will be $17.95 retail in the stores plus tax. The price on the website is $15 plus shipping, I think, of $325. In other news, those of you who are waiting to grab book 4 at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, wherever, and I strongly recommend Barnes & Noble if you want to have a bookstore in your future. The alternative is of course, that you trust Jeff Bezos, if he's the last man standing on book sales, to decide what you're going to read and how much you're going to pay for it. You ought to think about that. The Barnes & Nobles and Amazon cannot do anything. They can't stock up. They can't take orders. They can't do nada until their system is showing the books in their warehouses, and particularly the granddaddy of all warehouses, Ingram, which basically supplies books to the planet. I mean, it is a monstrous organization. The books ship from the publisher, actually from the printer, direct from the printer, on August 26th. And I would have bet you dollars to donuts, even given the archaic nature of this industry, that they would have been in Ingram a week ago, and they would be showing in the system, and the Barnes & Nobles and Amazon and whoever would be rocking with them. Bam, indie bookstores. That's not the case. Once again, the archaic nature of the book system, the book industry, rears its ugly head. Ingram just received their books. You know, it's unbelievable. Just received their book, and out of the publisher's control and out of my control. They just received their books yesterday. And it takes Ingram, behemoth that it is, give or take 5 or 6 days to show them in the system. And until they show in the system, the Barnes & Noble stores around the country and your local store and your indie store and even Amazon can't take an order, can't help you out as much as they'd like to. They just can't do anything. Once it shows in their system, then they can take your order, they can take your reservation, however each store works it, and they can get the book sent to shelves. So next week sometime for that. Once again, we're going to be sending out an email blast from the site so that you can pick up the phone or you can go down to your local Barnes & Noble and you can do what you got to do when the time comes. Until then, all you do is annoy the store and waste your time. They can't do anything. It's just the way it is. And I might add, if you plan to go that route, I know what the book inventory is. Even the publisher's distributor is running low on supplies because they've been shipping out books to Ingram and everywhere else. And you might not want to dedaddle when that blast goes out from the website. So that's the book news. And I want to thank you very, very, very much, Threads West readers. You guys and gals rock. I mean, the response to Book 4 has been stunning and humbling and satisfying. And we've gotten great reviews so far on the book. Lots of feedback from readers. Everybody loves the front matter, so they don't have to pick up books 1, 2, and 3. It gets them right into Book 4. You know, the arc of the tale and the character studies and all this kind of stuff. So I'm very, very, very pleased, surprised, stunned at the reception to Book 4. So thanks a million, folks. Really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy turning the pages. Okay, now, that dispensed with, let's talk about the show this morning. Of course, I'm going to have my historical story, and you're going to find this one really kind of bizarre, eerily bizarre, I guarantee you. And it is a twist of fate and twist of fact and twist of history that you almost guaranteed don't know. And it's American history, I might add. Then we're going to talk about gun control. But I'm going to focus on the one thing that all these mass shootings, that is all, let me underline the word all, these mass shootings have in common, with the exception of radical Islamist mass shootings. That's a whole different gig. We've talked about that a bunch here. But in terms of, you know, your American person, whatever color they happen to be, and they are typically, I might add, white, there is a common thread that binds all of them. That is 100%. Now, you know, when there is a common factor to 100% of the mass shootings, and there's been 4,500, I'm going to give you the exact stats from the information, 4,500 or so around the world, not in the United States, but around the world over the last several years, when you have 4,500 out of 4,500 links to the same, shall we say, a precipitator, or the same trait in every single mass shooter, that, folks, is beyond coincidence. And as you know, your erstwhile host, this poor hayseed in Wyoming, does not believe in coincidences. There are no coincidences. So I think you're going to find that really interesting. And it will also give you a different take on this whole gun control thing that's going on right now. You know, Beto O'Rourke saying, you know, forced confiscation of AK-47s and AR-15s. And, of course, the next thing would be semi-automatic pistols. And the next thing will be any gun that shoots, that can shoot or hold more than one round. And then, of course, the final step is all guns. I mean, you know, once the camel's nose is under the tent, there's no stopping it. And then we have the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. You know, their city is falling apart. They got homeless, needles, feces, you name it, in the streets all around town. I mean, the city is in a massive and accelerating state of decay, and all they can do is come up with a resolution naming the NRA, the National Rifle Association, a terrorist organization. I mean, people are Fruit Loops over this. And as you know, the left really doesn't care about mass shootings. You know, a few people here and there, 500,000 Syrians and, you know, 40 million Russians and 50 million Chinese and 8 million Cambodians. I mean, the left really doesn't care about who lives and dies so long as their ideology prevails and the people at the top, of course, increase both their wealth and their power. Gee, imagine that. The left, folks, wants to take away your guns because your guns are what stands between the tyrannical governance ideas of the left and them implementing them. That is why they want to take away your guns. That is why they are financed by Soros and many, not all, of the 300 puppeteer globalists I've talked about on previous shows over the past 4 weeks. That is the only reason. They couldn't care less about the deaths in Chicago every weekend, with very strict gun control laws, I might add, or Newark, New Jersey, or Baltimore, Maryland, or any of the other hotbeds of crime, murder, and gun-related violence, all of which have very strict rules, very strict laws. I mean, they are absolutely worthless. So in the end, you see those worthless laws. It's kind of like Obama's deal, right? He did a bunch of stuff, and he wanted it to fail because in its failure, he could move to the next alt-left or alt-left slash Islamist step. You got to think about that. I mean, Obamacare, one example. Obamacare was designed to fail. That was admitted by its architect, and I've talked about it on this show. It was designed to fail because in its failure would arise universal health care, you know, nationalized health care. And the way they could get it done was say, you know, we tried to go this hybrid. We wrecked the private system. So we went this hybrid because all the Republicans and those conservatives and all those nasty people, they're over there like right of center. They didn't want the government taking over health care, but it didn't work. So the private system didn't work in our, you know, in our and our media's dreams. And now this new system, which is a combination of government and private, didn't work. So obviously the only answer is government-run healthcare. That's just one example. But the left is good at that. They're good at dangling the carrot, and it's a carrot that they know is rotten at its core. And when you take a bite of the carrot and you grimace and you get an upset stomach and you have to spit it out, they go, oh, you know, it's not, the carrot didn't work, so now we have to try a lemon. The lemon will definitely work. All right, so gun control is about control. Not guns, it's about control. And we're going to talk about how that is so far off base tonight, and or this morning, and I'm going to, this is really some stunning statistics that tie in all these mass shooters around the planet, never mind the United States. And then we're going to talk about interest rates. Did you know that we are entering 2020 with the lowest interest rates, get this, in 5,000 years? Let me repeat that. These are the lowest interest rates since the year 300 BC. Now, you might clap your hands and go, oh, that's great. But as Paul Harvey would say, let me give you the rest of the story in that segment. And then we're going to go over some of the, I'll call them headlines. We're going to go over some of the headlines in bullet point for you so that you can shake your head, grimace, drop your coffee on your lap, and let your jaw hit the table as it sags in disbelief. All right. Let's get started. First of all, our story, our historical story. And this is a whopper. So, on September 6th, 1901, at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York, William McKinley, President of the United States, was fatally wounded by an assassin. It happened to be an anarchist, Leon Sagolsky, or Sagolsk. And McKinley would die within days. He was, in a way, the victim of earlier assassins. The doctors who attended to the president before him that was assassinated, President Garfield, I had a historical story on him for you, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, which was fascinating. But he was killed by his doctors. They prodded and they probed for a bullet they never found. And eventually he died. McKinley's physicians, because everybody had been on Garfield's doctors about handling it wrong and probing and doing all these things and really killing the president, they decided to do nothing. And in doing nothing, ironically, the bullet, which could have been easily found, was never found, and poor William McKinley died. To make it twice as bad, two booths over, this was at the Pan American Exposition, from where McKinley was shot, was a new invention, which was called the X-ray machine. So that invention actually existed. The doctors could have found the bullet in McKinley, and that president would not have died, i.e. would not have been assassinated. But the story doesn't end there. In fact, it really kind of begins there. At McKinley's side, when he was shot, was a very well-known guy and quite revered guy in the United States. His name was Robert Todd Lincoln. That's correct. Abraham Lincoln's son. Robert, if you know your history, was at the bedside of his father, Abraham Lincoln, who was the very first assassinated president of the United States, when Abe died. Robert was an officer in Garfield's cabinet, and Robert was walking next to Garfield, the second assassinated president I just told you about, when he was shot in a Washington railway station. And on this day, September 6, 1901, he was a guest of the Republican Party. He walked into the tent of the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo to meet the president. And as he entered the tent, McKinley was fatally shot, the third president to be shot. So at this point, Robert Lincoln probably came up with the theory that I have, and that is there is no coincidences. He believed himself a jinx to presidents. He became a recluse. He stayed home, out of the public eye, totally depressed that he had been at the assassinations of all three and the only three presidents to be shot in American history. He died, by the way, in 1926, and he was still revered by America. He was buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And you'll never guess who was buried next to him in 1963. You got it. President John F. Kennedy, the fourth president to be assassinated. So, how is that for a twist of fate, a taste of history, and some kind of energy coincidence? Oh, that's right. There are no coincidences. All right. So that's our historical story for this morning. Now, let's talk about gun control. Well, let's talk about mass murders. Step back for a moment, because I like to do this with my listeners. So, you know, get off the playing field. Get out of the field. Get out of the woods, where the shiny object is white supremacy and, you know, magazines with too many bullets and semi-automatic assault rifles, weapons of war, all the crap that you hear. Get back from the glittering stuff that leftist politicians, anti-constitutionalists, globalists, and their media mouthpieces like to trumpet at you. In the end, a gun is a tool. It's like a hammer. It's like a saw. It's like a car. None of those things do anything unless somebody makes them do it. There has to be a positive action. or should I say an action, by a human being lent to any one of these inanimate objects to make them do what they do. If it's a knife, like, you know, I don't know if you read about this this whackball jihadist on September 11th in Florida who killed a bunch of people and wounded a bunch of people with a knife. You know, no gun, no weapon of war, just with a knife. Now, he was driven by Islamist ideology, kind of a different deal. But nonetheless, it's illustrative or illustrative of what I'm trying to get across here, and that is an inanimate object must be placed into action by an animate being. So, given that fact, and it's a fact, removing guns from people, or should we say from law-abiding citizens, you know, the criminals. Criminals are people who break laws. So if you have more laws, particularly laws that would inhibit them from breaking the laws they're already breaking, like, you know, it's against the law to steal or to kill or to do whatever. So the person that's perpetrating those crimes, do you really think they're going to hesitate to perpetrate the crime of owning a gun if guns are outlawed? Yeah, obviously not. My point is here is that it is people who pull triggers, not guns who pull triggers. It is people who go to a place to pull the trigger. It is people who aim the gun. It is people who select, even if it's random, victims to shoot at, not the gun. The gun doesn't do any of those things. So let's look at the people that are involved in these mass murders. And by the way, the definition of mass murder is the wounding or killing of four or more people. That is the definition in the United States. It's similar around the world with some variances. So there have been several studies done. First of all, Trump, he was asked by a Washington Post reporter after the last mass shooting deal about a week ago, about what he was going to do about gun control. Well, he said, you know, you got to protect the Second Amendment. Congress has to do something. And it's all about changing up and closing the loopholes in our background checks. That happens to be true. I've given you on this show, put in gun control, put in mass murder, how you can listen to the shows. I have given you specific instances, and I'll recount two of them here for you very briefly, where the government fell down on the job, which allowed the mass murder to begin and allowed the background system check, the NICS system, to fail. There was the guy, I think it was in Texas, maybe 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, who, by the way, was eventually stopped and wounded by a good guy with an AR-15 who knew how to use it. But he was a domestic violence guy. He was a violent guy. He had committed crimes in the Air Force, and the Air Force never communicated those crimes, his violence, and his propensity for violence to the NICS system. So he was able to buy a gun even with a background check because all his bad dude stuff had not been entered by the very government who now wants to take your guns and register your guns to protect you from yourself. Think about that. I mean, something really obscene about that circle. And then we have Major Hassan. Do you remember Fort Hood? You know what Obama called for 5 years until the victims won a lawsuit? Workplace violence. You know, Major Hassan was like a devout Islamist. He wore his white robe. He, you know, he did the whole nine yards. He communicated with the higher-ups in Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. And he went to Fort Hood, knowing, by the way, that the soldiers are disarmed. Soldiers aren't allowed to carry firearms when they're on the base. And killed, I believe it was 13 and wounded, I believe it was 32 people. And all his Islamist actions, all his Islamist leanings, all his contacts were known to the government. They were known to the FBI, and they were known to military intelligence. Yet he still, they did nothing. They did nothing. Now, I'll give you one more. Parkland. Remember the Parkland High School deal down in Florida? Which really kind of kicked off. It was the precipitator of the current growing frenzy and calls for gun control, much to the delight of the globalists, the anti-constitutionalists, and the alt-left totalitarians. The Parkland shooting, this kid, number one, because of Obama's policies, which made school, rewarded schools with money for going soft on children, quote-unquote, criminals and children with propensities to violence and criminal behavior. The Parkland school deal, the sheriff's office went to this kid's house 29 times. That's 29. 29 times. For all sorts of stuff, all of it related to violence, all of it related to firearms. Yet that scum, Sheriff Israel, a Democrat, I might add, and Obama and his policies made it such that this kid could go out and buy a weapon and pass a background check. Because not one of those 29 visits, not one of the concerns of neighbors, his parents, you name it, of school counselors. By the way, the school had kicked him out of school because he was a threat and he was violent. That, none of that was reported by the government to the government NICS system, which meant that he could walk into a store at the age of 18 and buy a gun. And he did. And he used it. Now, let's take the next step. What binds all these people? Hassan, Major Hassan aside, he was an Islamist, a radical Islamist on a jihad. But what binds that guy, I think his name was Nicholas at Parkland, and the Columbine shooters back in Colorado, 15, 20 years ago, and the Aurora, also in Colorado, a movie theater. Do you remember the shows that I talked about these people? And I said, if you look at their pictures, and you should. This is not subjective. I mean, it's right in your face. Their looks, their eyes are all the same. They are vacant. They are blank. They are lifeless. They are out of touch. Every single one of them, including the pictures of the purported, and I'm not done with this story. I'm going to do my best to get to the bottom of it, or at least get you the information so that you can puzzle it out, in Las Vegas. They all have the exact same look, the exact same energy or lack of energy in their eyes. Well, there's a reason for that. Now, I think the reason is actually deeper than the one I'm going to give you, and I'll expound on that in a minute, and I've expounded on it in other shows. But when Trump was questioned by this Washington Post reporter a week ago, he said the biggest problem was mental health. And, of course, Jonathan Capehart, the reporter from the Washington Post and an alt-left, you know, whackball progressive, he said in his op-ed following the president's answer that he, listening to that, he was in pearl-clutching shock. And he's tired of politicians, and particularly President Trump, using the mental health shield against a problem which can only be solved by disarming the population. So you know where the press is coming from. Look, background checks don't work, folks, if the information's not in the database for the folks performing the NICS check to see. I gave you three examples of preventable mass shootings had the government done its job, the very government that wants to take your guns. Until that's fixed, nothing you do with the background system is going to work. Because it's not the background check system that's at fault. It is the government reporting to it so it can be in the database that's at fault. And of course, the Democrats, always clever with their play on words, they don't call it a background check. They clamor for universal background checks, which is code, as I've told you before, for a background check and gun registration. And anybody who's a student of history, particularly in the rise of totalitarian left governments, Nazi Germany, Pol Pot, Mao Tse-tung, Fidel Castro, I mean, the current deal in Venezuela, it is not a coincidence. It is the same in every single case. That the first thing these people do is get health care, so you are dependent, and the second thing they do is disarm you, so that you can't fight back as they put in the rest of their policies. It is just the way it is. It is history. The 4,500 mass shootings. If you want to look up more information on this, you can go to SSUS Stories. That would be SSUSTORIES.com. There's been 4,500 mainstream media cases from around the world that involved this kind of mass killing, violent, apparent behavior. Every single one of them, folks, that is no exceptions, involved mental illness accompanied by the use, or the prescribed use, or the court-mandated use in some cases, of powerful psychotropic drugs. Every single one of them. There's another guy who did a study, Noveski, and he did a list. He did a list of all the mass shootings. And then he cross-referenced that against the medical and mental records of the shooters. And he found the exact same thing. So you got two independent, no axe to grind, scientific research that basically come up to the same conclusion. It is 100% other than radical Islam. It is 100% mental illness and powerful drugs that are at play with each one of these shooters. And I'm going to go one step further. I believe, I've done several shows on mind control. Put in your search bar, you should listen to them. I got probably more response from those shows than almost any show I've ever done over 5 or 6 years, whatever it is. It is a proven fact that Project Montauk back in the 50s, and I go into this in detail in these shows, so I'm not going to here, has evolved. This is a mind control program. Has evolved to where, and this is proven fact, a susceptible human mind can be controlled. Memories can be erased. Memories can be reversed. Memories can be planted. And commands can be issued, suggestive commands, through the use of radio waves of certain frequency. Like I said, I've done shows on this. You should listen to it. So let's look at the big picture here. We're in the stratosphere now looking at this problem. So with all the medical stuff that Obama and the government has put in place, there's complete and mostly digitized records on each and every one of us, on our medical history, our drugs, whatever it happens to be. So we know that the government has access to the information of who fits the bill. An angry young man, this is your typical shooter, of between 18 and 26 years of age, and studies vary on that, but basically that's the range, who is on psychotropic drugs because he has some type of mental illness. Now, if the government doesn't report this stuff to the NICS system, of course, can't make sure that this guy doesn't get a gun. That's number one. But more importantly, the government, and I mean the CIA and the FBI, who we now are, I think we all agree they're kind of corrupt. Maybe not the lower echelons, but certainly from the middle management up, they're corrupt. I mean, look at John Brennan, look at Comey, look at McCabe, who finally, by the way, is going to get indicted. You know, the first domino to fall. And I believe they picked him because I think he's going to sing like a canary to save his butt. But that I'm going to cover next week. So you have a government that really wants to disarm its people, or at least large factions of the government. The shadow government wants to disarm its people. And the shadow government is controlled, financed, manipulated by the globalists, the 300 puppeteers, and their sub-tier. You know, Soros is a puppeteer. His sub-tier is Obama. And it is Obama who appointed these people. And those people appointed down to the middle management. So you can see how quickly and insidiously this infiltration occurs. And you can see how easily these agencies are corrupted for ideology and for personal gain and for power. And how arrogant they are. So arrogant. So the government knows who's on psychotropic drugs. The government knows who's had a mental illness. The government knows what people's race, age, living conditions, family background, whatever it happens to be, is. And the government can figure out who would have a propensity toward this type of ghastly violence. And the government knows that these people can get a gun one way or the other because the government knows that it or its sub-wings, if you will, sub-tiers, are not reporting the problems with these individuals to the NICS system. These are all facts. This is not surmise. Here comes the surmise. The surmise is that finding a willing or a ready, I should say, a ready and susceptible shooter. That shooter is induced, and once again, this is my theory based on the work I've done on mind control, which I've shared with you guys, based on the fact that it is absolutely a proven fact that both the Soviets and the Americans, in some cases working together 20, 30 years ago, have developed the means to control memory and action by the use of directed radio waves. How hard would it be for a government or a government agency controlled by progressives whose strings are pulled by globalist puppeteers who are convinced, rightly so, that the 150 million armed Americans are all that stands between them and global domination? Because if you don't have armed Americans, you don't really have an America, eventually. And if you don't really have an America, you really don't have anything standing in the way of globalism. Or I might add, if you have an America with somebody like Obama or Hillary or any of the clowns that are running for the presidency on the Democratic side this year, the globalists win. The collective wins, the individual loses. Control wins, freedom loses. Those are really big stakes. Think about control of the planet. Control of the planet's resources. Control of the planet's wealth. Control of the planet's population. That's like a really big prize. Do you really think that these people care if 10 unfortunate people are killed in a Walmart? Or, you know, 20 unfortunate, I'm just taking numbers, 20 unfortunate people are killed in a restaurant, or 11 unfortunate people are killed in a movie theater, or better yet, because it really gets the public up in arms, you know, 17 kids are killed at a high school, or a number of poor, you know, first, second, third graders are killed at a school in Connecticut. Do you really think these people care? Really? Come on. Please. They couldn't care less. They care only in that it gives them a wedge to use through their media puppets to twist the psyche and affect the mindset of the American people, which might allow them to slowly whittle away, as they have been, at the Second Amendment until finally their ultimate objective is achieved, which is a disarmed population. So, given all that, is it out of the realm of possibility? Is it something you would treat with great disbelief and skepticism if I tell you that I believe, based on all my research in these various interrelated areas, that these shooters are in fact driven to the act because their minds are susceptible through mental illness and through the use of psychotropic drugs, but they are driven to the act through mind control, the beaming of radio waves, the supplanting of memories, and the introduction of suggestion or command. I talked about 2 weeks ago how odd it is that suddenly you have like three or four mass shootings all in a row, and several more thwarted, by the way, by good guys with guns. And, you know, the louder the drumbeat for gun control gets, the more violence there seems to be. Is this a coincidence? Methinks not. Let me give you some examples. Eric Harris, age 17, and Dylan Klebold, age 18. These are the Columbine school shooters in Littleton, Colorado. Eric Harris was on Zoloft and then on Luvox. Klebold's medical records have mysteriously disappeared. His doctor, before refusing to talk to press, said that he was on antidepressant drugs, and then suddenly that story disappeared. Now, Corey Badsgard, age 16, while Luke Washington, that's Washington State High School, he was on Paxil, which, by the way, caused him to have hallucinations. And he took a rifle to his high school, held 23 classmates hostage. He claims no memory of the event. And what does mind control do, folks? Oh, that's right. It erases, supplants, or changes and alters memory. Okay. A fact, not a surmise. Kip Kinkle, age 15. He was on Prozac and Ritalin. He shot his parents, then went to school and killed two classmates and injured 22 others right after he began Prozac treatment. Luke Woodham, age 16, was on Prozac, killed his mother, and then killed two students, wounded six others. TJ Solomon, age 15, was on Ritalin, Conyers, Georgia, opened fire on and wounded six of his classmates. Neil Furrow was on Prozac. He was in L.A. Jewish school. And by the way, the court had ordered him to be on Prozac, along with several other medications. Matty Sari, S-A-A-R-I, 22-year-old culinary student, killed nine students and a teacher, wounded another student, and then killed himself. Sari was taking SSRI and benzodiazepine. Steve Kamirzak, age 27, killed five people, wounded 21 others, and then killed himself in a Northern Illinois University auditorium. He was taking Prozac, Xanax, and Ambien. Toxicology results in his autopsy still showed Xanax in his system. Let me boil this down for you. Capehart, the progressive, and his cronies from the Washington Post and elsewhere are wrong when they call the concern over mental health, the shiny object, that's a quote, the shiny object of mental health. This is not an either or issue, folks. It's really, in its essence, it comes down to two things. Number one, actually three things. Number one, people have mental illness and people are on these drugs. If you have a mental illness or you are on these drugs, you should be in the NICS system, particularly since the government is fully aware you have a mental health problem and you are taking these drugs. And then you can't buy a firearm. You can still steal it, for sure. You can still kill your parents like the guy did in Connecticut before he went to elementary school or killed his mother and take their weapons. I mean, that stuff can happen. But you won't be able to buy it, like the three examples I gave you at the beginning of this segment. Number two, I really think a lot of further study needs to be done on this correlation. When it's not correlation, it's a 100% thread on these mass shooters and these drugs and the prescription of these drugs. You know, maybe it's not guns we need to outlaw. Maybe it's these drugs we need to outlaw. Imagine that unbelievable thought. The drug companies will just howl because drug companies don't care about your Second Amendment rights either. They're part of the global cabal. Along those lines, by the way, the headlines were trumpeting over the last week that 145 CEOs of the top 1,000 companies in the United States, you know, Fortune 1,000, 145 CEOs banded together and sent letters to all the senators saying that, you know, guns had to be banned and guns had to be confiscated and, you know, the whole litany. Now, of course, that's mainstream media stuff. It really did happen, by the way. But imagine if the headline had been different. How about this? 1,000 signatures requested, 845 CEOs refused to sign the letter. If you went to all the CEOs of the top 1,000 corporations in the United States and you only got 145 signatures, it tells me that, what is that, 14.5% of the folks that run the 1,000 biggest companies in the United States believe the population should be disarmed, right? And 85.5% do not. Imagine presenting it that way. This is something I want you to think about, and I have more research I've been doing on this mind control stuff that I'm going to be bringing your way over the next several weeks, because that's the third thing. A real study, a real investigation needs to be launched into the use of mind control on American citizens, and particularly people who are susceptible to it, who could be, because of their medical records, their propensity to violence, who knows what. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a CIA guy. But I am a rancher with some common sense who doesn't believe in coincidences. A real thorough investigation by totally neutral parties needs to be done on whether or not these shootings are being induced, manipulated, catalyzed, however you want to call it, by some type of government mind control program, or even a rogue government agency mind control program. Remember that the CIA, folks, was run by John Brennan, who hates America, who converted to Islam in Riyadh in 2009, who has, in my opinion, acted treasonously ever since he's been out of the CIA, and from what we're learning, was instrumental in tampering with the 2016 election unsuccessfully and in trying to get Trump removed, in other words, thwarting the will of the people and the Constitution after Trump was elected until he was gone. And now, of course, he's on CNN, blah, blah, blah. It's a very interesting thought, this web I've woven you from the stratosphere, removed from the glittering object of the current shooting event, don't you think? Give it some thought. Let's talk about interest rates. So, my little thing that I told you at the beginning of the show is exactly right. By the way, the European Central Bank just lowered rates again. Remember, most of Europe is in zero, that's ZIRP, they call it Z-I-R-P, zero interest rates. Literally, you are paid by the bank to have a mortgage, and if you have savings, you pay the bank to keep your money. I'm not making this up. They've been there for years. It doesn't seem to be having any long-term positive effect whatsoever in the European economy. And when Draghi, or Draghi, D-R-A-G-I-H-I, who's the head honcho of the European Central Bank, when he asks when it's going to end, he goes, no, it's going to run, quote, as long as necessary, unquote. In other words, he's going to run it, folks, until it runs into the ground, and eventually it will. The Federal Reserve of the United States. So they began raising interest rates a year or two ago, if you remember. And your erstwhile reporter, I forecast that rates would continue to rise. I was wrong. And I'm not wrong on many projections. But a combination of events, Trump wanting to keep rates down, Trump wanting to superheat the economy before the election, dragging growth in Europe, dwindling growth in China for many reasons, and an American system that has never quite recovered from 2008-2009. There's a whole bunch of reasons that rates are down and that the Federal Reserve actually lowered rates several months ago and is projected to lower rates at least once and perhaps twice by the end of this year. And once again, we're going to step back. We're going to float high above the earth, you know, in our observant helicopter. And we're going to look down at this big picture. Because, yeah, low interest rates, oh, I'm paying less for my mortgage, I'm paying less for my car, blah, 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 blah. That's all great and good. However, there's a much bigger picture. A much bigger picture. I quote, the 2020s will begin with the lowest interest rates in 5,000 years, unquote. That's from none other than Bank of America Merrill Lynch, by the way, globalists, or owned by globalists, run by globalists. Their chief strategist, Michael Hartnett, is the one who gave that quote. The 2020s will begin with the lowest interest rates in 5,000 years. And there's a chart. I actually have this article posted, or hopefully the producers have it posted, under Economy. You might want to read it and take a look at that chart, which is entitled Lowest Interest Rates in 5,000 Years Chart. And except for a really, really, really brief period in 1930 at the height, I mean, you know, people jumping out of windows in the Depression, these rates are indeed the lowest since 3,000. I misquoted there at the beginning of the show. 3,000 BC. 3,000 BC. There's a guy by the name of Silla, S-Y-L-L-A. He's a professor of economics at New York University. He wrote a book, and he's a co-author, A History of Interest Rates. And that book goes over literally the history of 5,000 years of interest rates. From the beginnings of the Bronze Age, through the glories of Greece and Rome, the Renaissance Age of Empires, all the way to now. Silla's research, in his mind, reveals, quote, it seems like there's a U-shaped cycle for each civilization, unquote. As interest rate cycles begin and decline, interest rates decline, civilizations increase, advance. They have their golden ages. They have all the good stuff going on. Civilizational peaks, heroic deeds, great achievements, you name it. As interest rates rise, just the opposite happens. And Silla, by the way, and I have not read his book, Silla claims the pattern can be seen in every single great civilization for the last 5,000 years. Babylon, Greece, Rome, you name it. Quote, a progressive decline in interest rates as the nation or culture developed and thrives. Around the turn of the 20th century, there was an Austrian economist, Eugen von Bohm, B-O-H-M. He declared, quote, the cultural level of a nation is mirrored by its rate of interest. The higher a people's intelligence and moral strength, the lower the rate of interest. I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm giving you his quote. When the pace of civilization slackens, folks, and the flame of achievement flickers, it is because of debt. Think about this. So the lower interest rates are, the more people take on debt. I'm sure you've seen it in your own household. You know, if you get a mortgage at 2.5%, you're going to borrow another 10, 20, 30,000 if you can. And by the way, you can because you qualify for more. Corporations, they'll, you know, in periods of low interest rate, they'll issue massive amounts of bonds to get the cash to grow or to do whatever they're going to do. In some cases, buy back stock, which is foolish, or other cases, pay bonuses to their CEOs, which is, in my mind, criminal. But the bottom line is, the lower interest rates are, the more debt you have. The more attractive debt is to take out, and the more debt people, companies, governments, you name it, take out. It is not a coincidence that the United States' primary national debt has risen from $900 million, that's $900 million, in 1981 to $21-plus trillion today, roughly 35 years later. There's no coincidence because interest rates have been falling with very few exceptions and on a solid downward trend since 1981. If you remember, interest rates in 1981-82, this is after the Jimmy Carter recession, Reagan had just been elected, and Paul Volcker, who was a great monetarist, a great constitutionalist, and a hell of an economist, he cranked those interest rates up to get a hold of inflation, all the bad stuff that was going on from Carter's years. And interest rates actually get up to about 20%. People were paying 17 or 18% for their mortgages in 81. So given that peak, interest rates have steadily declined, although it has not been an even decline, since that date, until they are now at, what, 2%? Really? And going lower? Or in Europe at zero or negative zero? No wonder the national debt has increased. No wonder your household debt has increased. No wonder your mortgage amount has increased. Low interest rates make it highly attractive to leverage. Well, folks, when interest rates start to go up, the piper has to be paid. That's not to say if you have a fixed mortgage, you're going to change it. But in general, around the planet, and particularly for governmental debt, interest starts sucking more and more of the capital out of society and out of government and out of companies, which means they can do less and less and less. They can invest less. They can grow less. They can hire less people. You name it. And civilization declines. So that's the big picture look at these low interest rates, even though the day-to-day look, you're going, oh, wow, man, I'm getting a car for 0.5% interest. Well, you know, there's another side to that coin. There ain't nothing free, although the Democratic presidential candidates haven't figured that out. Scylla, the guy I was talking about, he says, quote, we might say that our current low interest rates indicate that we're at one of the high points of our civilization. Maybe things will get worse from now on. You know, I am not really ready to say that. I've been warning you that, you know, some kind of correction is coming. Hopefully it's going to be after the election, because if Trump doesn't win, none of this is going to really matter anyway. So, something very interesting, but you know, the lowest interest rates in 5,000 years. Yeah. Very interesting. All right. I'm going to give you just a quick rundown on just a few bizarre headlines from the past week. And on a few of them, I'm going to give you some background. So there's this school. Ironically, it's called Liberty School. You can't make this stuff up. And it seems an 18-year-old senior wore a Trump t-shirt to school, and the school suspended him. Well, obviously he sued, and the school's attorney said that the reason that he was suspended, even though everybody with Obama shirts or Hillary shirts or Kamala Harris shirts was not suspended, is that the school is now 33% Hispanic, and therefore, I'm going to sum up his words, the First Amendment doesn't apply. Well, the United States District Court judge kind of listened to that argument and threw him out on his butt. In fact, one of his comments was, are you telling me the First Amendment applies one way in one high school and one way in another? Anyway, so the good guys won that case, but I'm just giving you a taste of how loony the left is. Loony. Loony. There has been an epidemic. Six have dropped dead, by the way, in California, in an area kind of overrun with refugees. I'm going to have more on this story because I'm going to be doing some work on immigration for you over the next several weeks. But this has to do with an unchecked border and disease-ridden illegal immigrants. You know, not only is there a national security problem with the drugs, a national security problem with the fact terrorists can walk in and out of here like the sieve, but there's also a health-related national security problem. Ilhan Omar, you know, our favorite Islamist, should I say alt-left Islamist, congresswoman from Minneapolis's, or actually Minnesota's, 5th District, i.e. Minneapolis-Somaliland. It seems that Omar, and I've told you about this for 3 months, you know, tax fraud, adultery, lying on immigration. I mean, she's committed a bunch of pretty big felonies. And now we find out that she was having an affair behind her real husband's back, even though she was still married to her brother. Oh, yeah. You can't make this stuff up. And she also went to the 9/11 Ground Zero Memorial Ceremony and, like, extolled Allah and Jihad and cut down Israel in the United States. This is at a 9/11 memorial ceremony. That's just last week. Wow. Unbelievable. Then we have a professor who who thinks that we should stop teaching kids, you're going to love this, stop teaching kids math, because teaching them math perpetuates white privilege. Okay. And then we have another story. By the way, this, both this one and the school suspend student deal are posted, or should be posted, on the website under women. Quite interesting reading. So there's a school board member who posts one question about certain Muslims, and then, you know, everybody has a PC left-wing meltdown. I'm not even sure I would send my kids to public school anymore. I'm really not sure. 77%, this is another headline, 77% of Democrats with a four-year college degree. Wow. 77% of Democrats with a four-year college degree believe that sex is not determined at birth. Let me repeat that. 77% of Democrats who have a four-year college degree believe sex is not determined at birth. Okay. You bet. Wow. Then there was another poll. 28% of Democrats believe that the NRA should be silenced. That they should not have a public voice anymore. You know, no First Amendment. No, just silence them. And listen, I could go on, but I mean, this will just give you an idea of how Looney Tunes it is out there. Maybe I'll call up a few more here. Let's see. We're on the computer. Let's see what we pull up. And while I'm waiting for that, you will find. Oh, bummer. You know, one thing I'm not is a techie. In fact, I am so not a techie, you can't believe it. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable even to me. Five commands, on, off, attach, delete, and send. Anything beyond to the side, either side or underneath that, I have to hire it done. And this is no exception at all. Oh, by the way, under politics, we have a 6X. That's really unusual. 6X. So if you put in $10, $70 is going to go to the Trump campaign and various other Republican campaigns. If you put in $10, $70, you're really contributing $70 to the effort. So go to the politics section on the website, www.ontherightsideradio.com, and throw $10, $20, whatever, at this 6X matching contribution. I mean, that's really a lot of bang for your contribution buck. McCabe, yes, he's going to get charged. And he had the cojones to have his attorney go in and ask the DOJ to drop the charges because he was so sad. He doesn't have any money anymore. And you know, he doesn't have a job. And his wife lost the election that he got paid $700,000 and pocketed. And so on and so forth. The DOJ said no. I think it's just the first of many. I was disappointed that it wasn't somebody higher up. But, on the other hand, maybe they're picking the low-hanging fruit to squeeze it and see what juices come out. We shall see. There's a really interesting article on the website, under gun control. This is by Judicial Watch. You know, I think they are fabulous. You should send them some money, too. On what's really behind these red flag gun laws. That's where Sally Lou, who doesn't like you and lives five houses down the street, can call the police and say, this guy is nuts, man. Like, he was out talking dirty to his dog, and then they come and take your guns. Okay? No due process, no nothing. The Judicial Watch article kind of goes into that. It looks like President Trump has fired, finally, thousands of people at two agencies that were undercutting his policies. You know, draining the swamp. Yep, very good. And then who of you saw the so-called Democratic debate? I think it was yesterday or the day before. I mean, who cares? Yawn, gag me, bring me my barf bag from the back of the plane seat. Wow. I listened, I just couldn't listen more than like 4 or 5 minute stints. It was unbelievable. That's what it was. But I was tickled at one thing, and that is Democrats are debating issues that no one cares about and talking about implementing policies that no one wants. So. Then we have, let's see. Oh, and there's a good one, by the way, posted. And I believe it's under Loony Left or Alt Left on the web. Here's everything you missed from the third Democratic debate. It's a D.C. Evening periodical release. And it's pretty funny. It's worth seeing. Then China. China has volunteered to run the United Nations Crime Agency. Oh, gee, what could go wrong? Then we have, oh, yeah, the bug-eyed babe from the Bronx. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She gets up on her soapbox on September 11th. You know, 2011. Wow. She gets up on her soapboxes and apologizes to illegal immigrants on behalf of the United States of America. Well, hey, bug-eyed babe, you may think you're apologizing for me, but you ain't. So, cut it out. All right. That is enough. I mean, I could go on. There was like so many, absolutely. Yeah, like you had to read the headline twice, and then that would catch your attention. You'd get into the story, and it would not be less than bizarre than the headline. It would be twice as bizarre as a headline. That was like all week long. It's unbelievable. I think the world's cracking up. But I digress. And I am also going to end this show. Yes, there's more in globalism coming. I'm still doing some research, not ready to talk to you about it yet. Yes, there's more in mind control coming over the next several weeks. And I think you'll find those shows particularly fascinating, particularly after the foundation for both globalism the last several weeks and the mind control stuff relative to these mass shootings this week. So have yourself a great and safe week, folks. This is the prettiest time of the year. Get outside and enjoy it. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.